Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio presents OPA number 73. This is Kevin DeFrango. To my left is Ken Phillips. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. It's been a fast week. I'm going to go ahead and say it. We can check that box. We've got that taken care of now.
Yeah, definitely a fast week. I am ready to have fun tomorrow, so that has certainly forced a fast turnaround on shows. So I am ready to go see Jim Norton tomorrow. So, none of our subjects have anything to do with comedians, Ken.
Oh no, maybe some of them will be funny though. That's like a comedian is funny.
Yeah, well, and really, I guess I didn't even think about it, but before the show, I started watching the TV show Zoo. So that fit right in with the theme of the show. Here we are talking about many different animals. Yeah. Even the prehistoric zoo is involved in this episode.
You could say that the you know, we have a zoo with us here tonight, Kevin, on the show. Really?
Yeah.
I mean, and you
it's a small
have a point.
Zoo.
Yeah. So. You know, I don't know if you've ever been to a petting zoo, Kevin, but
it's been a while, but it has occurred.
A favorite animal there at the petting zoo is usually a goat, I would say.
Well, goat are very common. I walk past them every time I go to the Columbus Zoo, because there is a petting zoo there. There are goats there. And, you know, have you ever thought to yourself, I just, want to be a goat?
You mean like just when I'm going by, I mean, I guess I don't walk by the petting zoo as often as you do. Why has this occurred to you, Kevin?
No, this thought has not occurred to me. Of all animals, not really a goat. Like, I do have this guy's appreciation for goats, I would say. They are cute.
Yes.
They are very nimble. They're pretty strong, too, like, for their size.
Right.
You know, so, and I always kind of like the headbutting thing, too.
They've got horns.
Yeah,
so that's,
horns. Horns always cool on an animal. I'm sorry, it's just always cool. You have horns, it's kind of cool. Like, automatically. Moose antlers, awesome.
So that's big props to all of our listeners who have horns.
Yeah, hey, Stunt Granny audience, if anyone has decided to implant horns.
Now, would this include, like, devils, Kevin? Are you, like, saying you're cool with devils and demons and other infernal denizens?
The image of most infernal denizens is kind of a cool look.
Sure. Okay, so you're just you're purely from cosmetic reasons here. You're not endorsing any ideologies.
No.
Okay, good.
No. It's,
because we didn't want to take a stand, you know, pro or anti-demon. We want to kind of not wade into those waters, I think.
Yeah, if there are some demons that listen to the show, we are not trying to, let's say, demonize them.
That's right. They get that enough, you know. They're demonized more than anybody, I think. But goats, I guess goats kind of do fall into that category, like, wasn't there something in the Bible about separating your sheep or your lambs from your goats or something? And, like, the goats were, like, the bad end of that deal?
Yeah, I don't think...
It was, like, a Judgment Day kind of parable or something?
I don't feel like you're wrong, but I can't confirm it either, though.
Sure. But somebody out there who would be a little more familiar with the Bible might be able to help us here. You would think we would remember something after 8 years of grade school, but, you know.
Oh, I remember plenty. I just don't remember that particular story. I'm just going to throw that out there.
The goats and the lambs not hit home for you then.
Yeah, that was not a hit homer.
That's weird that, you know, stories like that aren't relevant to kids today.
Yeah, but it was kind of funny that there was a gentleman in England.
Yes, he decided to separate himself, not from the lambs or goats, but from humans, and live as a goat for, I think he ended up doing it for 3 days. In the Alps. Mountainous, yeah. Like with the mountain goats, I guess.
Yes. Well, you kind of were mixing topics or mixing information there, but
yeah.
Thomas Thwaites was the gentleman in question here, and he actually took time out to design a goat skeleton for himself to be amongst the goat.
Yes. So he didn't actually like perform surgery to have his own skeleton changed to that of a goat, but it's like an exoskeleton. So that's somewhat better, you know. This isn't like a full-on tusk situation, which I don't know if you've remember that. Have you seen that movie?
I have not seen that movie.
I started watching it. It seemed kind of it did seem engrossing, but I just can't sit still for a whole movie anymore, it seems like, for whatever reason.
Nah, we go out to the movies a lot, so I'm still used to sitting down and watching a movie.
I mean, it's a truly bizarre plot, but, you know, they do a pretty good job of selling it, I thought.
Gotcha.
And kind of like the dawning horror of the whole situation. But I guess this one's a little bit different, this story, because this guy is a willing participant. He's not being surgically transformed into a goat. And
well, and it really...
I think that's some of the worries that people have when they maybe first read these headlines. We should try to calm people's fears a little bit, maybe, as a public service here.
Yeah, and they even lead the article off with the fact that he wrote a book called The Toaster Project about his attempt to build a toaster from scratch. So he had, like, a celebrity book. So he was trying to come up with, like, the next big concept, too. Yes. So this is kind of, to be weird and wacky seems like this guy's thing now.
Well, yeah. I mean, part of it seemed like he was kind of like, it doesn't exactly explain where this idea came from. Like, he must, I guess we'd have to buy the book, Kevin. Maybe that's what he's trying to.
Yeah, it's a good trailer. Just like any good movie, you need some intrigue in there. You need to get sucked into it. And he's giving you something to...
Yeah, we don't have any real... I don't think we have too many spoilers for this book here. Just the interview he gave. So he doesn't have any surgery done. But he is... walking with the goats... On all fours at all times?
Yeah.
It seems like.
He even managed to... he was trying to eat like a goat, even. He was trying to find an enzyme that would make the human stomach correctly digest grass.
Yes. He, I think, initially planned on having an artificial rumen, which is like the secondary stomach that like a grazing animal has to help break down and digest the grasses and things that they're eating. But he couldn't put the kind of bacteria in there that he would have needed, because if it got into his actual system, he would have like had like lifelong diarrhea. So that's that's a real problem. Yeah,
it does sound terrible. I mean, I
think you could put that into the column of not worth it. And
yeah, this gentleman did make the right call and said that is not worth it. But yes. He still stewed the grass so he could digest it.
In a pressure cooker.
In a pressure cooker.
Right. So presumably he took off the goat exoskeleton for this part, because I'm not sure how he could be operating a pressure cooker
in a goat costume.
But, I mean, to be fair, it's not real. He doesn't exactly look like a goat in these pictures. So it's not, I don't know, I might draw a line but before I would call it a costume. It's a, I don't know, device? A goat device?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that was kind of the purpose. Like, and he already said that he was, he has actually redesigned it a little bit since then.
So this would be like Goat 3.0, I think, because he kind of had initially done some.
This would be Goat 4.0, because they showed three different versions of it in this article. So it's at least 4.0. Maybe I should say it that way. It's at least 4.0.
Gotcha. So, yeah. I mean, it is interesting that this guy, you know, seems to be quite intelligent and is thinking interesting ideas and kind of running with it, I guess. I'm glad that he didn't infect his stomach with this stuff.
Yeah, there needs to be just some smart calls. Like,
they were recounting him talking to some biologist about it and him like saying his plan to use this artificial stomach to digest with that bacteria in there, and they were just like horrified at the idea that he would then be eating that. He would have to, like, it sounds like he would actually grab it with his teeth and then like spit it into a pouch or something.
Yes.
And then later cook that.
Correct.
Sans goat hands, I guess. Because
yeah, he at least had to let go of the goat hands.
Because, yeah, the device, the goat device, has, like, it doesn't seem like he's touching the ground with his hands or feet. It's, like, prosthetic, I guess. Prosthetic legs. That are supposed to make it more comfortable for him to be in that position on kind of all fours. And it seems like he had mixed results.
It would, no matter how you design that, it would have to be straining.
Yeah.
For anyone, even in that, cause I don't know why I must keep on scrolling past the number of days, that he did this.
Yeah, I think he planned on doing it for 6 days at one point, but ended up just doing it for three. That stick is in my head for some reason. Okay. So,
yeah, but I mean, you're just kind of in a very I know that people actually kind of do some training like that now, because it is like when you're bridging yourself like that, I mean, you're tensing up almost all your muscles in your body. You're using your legs, you're using your upper body, you're using your, you know, midsection.
Yeah.
Like, everything's kind of engaged when you're doing that. It would still take some training to get used to that. Especially for that, you know, even if he's taking it off to cook his stew, that would still be tough if he's doing it, like, 20 hours out of the day or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be...
Because he did keep up with the herd, too, or at least the way he made it sound. Like, wherever they moved around to, he moved around to.
I like the one scene where he said there was a moment of tension between him and this other goat. Or maybe the other goats in the group. But he was wearing a bicycle helmet, it looked like, as a means of protection.
Yes.
I don't know if that's going to... I mean, I guess that could protect you from a goat headbutt. It's supposed to protect you from a bicycle crash.
Right.
So maybe it could protect you from a headbutt. I don't know.
Yeah, I would imagine that might crack.
Yeah.
It would probably blunt the force sufficiently. Sure it would not feel good still.
No.
Like, you're still getting hit at a fairly high rate of speed head on.
Right. This would not be a pleasant experience.
Yeah. Your neck is just not really made to absorb that kind of a blow, whether you have a helmet on or not.
Yeah, hopefully you would not come to that. So it sounded like he had a kind of a goat ally who was able to come to his defense or somehow defuse the situation in order to kind of like calm the other goats, which I enjoyed that part as well. I mean, I don't know, Kevin. You said become a goat. If you had to become an animal and live as an animal of this type, and they said, yeah, go ahead, you can pick whatever kind of animal you want, but what would you go with?
You know, wombat just popped in my head.
Wombat?
I always had an affinity.
I don't know much about how a wombat lives, I guess.
I always did like Komodo dragons. I always think that they're pretty cool, but I'm not sure that I want to be a Komodo dragon.
Right. I mean, that's true.
You know,
you've got to factor in a little bit because you've got to like do whatever the animal is doing.
Right. Because they kind of go with the slow death theory where they bite something and infect it with bacteria, and then they just kind of stalk it and then let it get infected with the bacteria, and then they kill it.
Yes.
I mean, it's kind of ruthless.
I just was surprised that you didn't say you would want to be a honey badger.
No, I felt like a wombat was a honey badger.
Honey, that brings some of the
honey badger.
Some of the feel of the honey badger. Okay, because I'm picturing like a Wolverine almost kind of creature with a wombat. Is that kind of what
it's kind of a Wolverine-y type creature. Mm. Looks a little more adorable than a Wolverine.
Is that are they like a marsupial? Because they're from Australia, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. They've got marsupials down there.
Yeah. They have a bunch of crazy looking cool animals down there. Some of them are deadly.
You know what?
A lot of them are deadly.
I decided, and I had a little more time to think about it, I would want to be a dolphin. I think that would be pretty badass.
Oh.
And I could actually see that happening. You know, if you got like the right kind of robotic suit or whatever.
Yeah. That'd be pretty wild. I mean, you'd have to be kind of like in the tube face first.
It would be tight, yeah. I would think.
You'd be kind of like in a very like a personal submarine almost.
But I want to say dolphins are a good bit bigger than people.
Yeah, well, we did a dolphin swim when we went to Mexico. Mm. And yeah, they're pretty sizable, man. I don't think they're 1,000 pounds, but I think they're a good 500 plus. Oh, and you know what? There's a reason I left this open.
Well, that would I think leave the door open for some kind of a robo-dolphin, potentially, you know, some kind of avatar-like situation where you could, you know, download your consciousness into a clone dolphin body. I mean, I guess that is more far-fetched. We could start with the robotic dolphin device, you know. If you had something that was streamlined with a powerful tail, I think, then again, you know, there's a lot of the way the dolphin moves through the water, like I'm sure it can move its body all kinds of different ways to kind of gain power.
Okay, yeah. The common dolphin is between 176 and 500 pounds.
So it can be pretty big there then.
Yeah, so they are larger than humans. So yeah, I mean, you could at least somewhat comfortably fit inside something like that.
Yes.
So yeah.
But I guess I'd have to eat raw fish. But
sushi all day long. Yeah,
there you go. It's like a sushi buffet. But I wouldn't go after the bluefish because there's the ones where you have to, like, just get, if you don't cut it right, you can actually kill somebody. Is that the one I'm thinking of? Oh,
yes. Okay. Yeah, I believe that's what it's called.
I wouldn't trust myself to that in my, you know, I'm not sure how, you know, there's details to be worked out, like how precise the robo jaws are going to be. or is it going to be just my own teeth going to get. Go out there and chomp down on the fish? I don't know.
I would hope that you'd get teeth on the dolphin costume that you could operate.
Oh my god, it'd be some kind of like you know,
you'd have to have like some type of a sea net there in the mouth.
Okay. You tell me if this is far fetched. You could have a team of people with these robot dolphin costumes. Some kind of dolphin force.
Dolphin Force 5.
Yes, yeah. And then maybe even they can transform to get and like come together to form like a big robot dolphin thing and really kind of take care of business at that point. So,
yeah.
I'm not sure how far-fetched that is, but it's something to work for, you know?
It certainly is something to work for.
Yeah. So yeah, dolphins for me, wombats for Kevin. I guess we can look into what it would take to do that and to revisit this topic later.
Speaking of a menagerie of animals, wombat, Komodo dragons, even if we want to go back to them.
Sure.
All of these
and regular dragons, maybe. Who knows?
Yeah, regular dragons. All of these creatures are said to have made it onto Noah's Ark. Ken.
Yes. And perhaps the unicorn didn't make it, right? Or did?
Oh, I don't remember if there was a unicorn or not.
I remember that song very well. It was seemed to be a staple at every, you know, musical show that we did in grade school about the unicorn not making it on board Noah's Ark, and that's why there's no more unicorns anymore. But there was green alligators and long neck geese, humpback camels and chimpanzees.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, I completely remember that now.
Good cats Lord. And rats and elephants.
How did I forget that? Oh, man.
The loveliest of all was the unicorn. Did not make the boat. I think the unicorn was screwing around and wasn't there on time.
Damn those unicorns. Slackers.
But I'm not certain how this new museum in Kentucky is handling the unicorn issue.
They did not handle that issue, but they built a Bible-sized replica of Noah's Ark, which was 510 feet long.
Yes, and I guess that is how long it has, been worked out to be, according to the Bible passage. It's it is quite impressive looking, I gotta say. I'm not sure how many animals are supposed to fit in there, because I guess there wasn't like a full amount.
Well, I did enjoy that, at the bottom of this article, they, gave you some helpful, information on the size and, what, a ship like this may hold. And, they boiled it down to 120,000 sheep is, how many, units of animal that such a boat could hold.
You know, that's actually a lot more than I would have thought. So,
because it was three floors.
Right. And it is very big looking.
Well, yeah, 510 feet long and because they don't really give the oh, it's 300 cubits by 50 is what the Bible called it.
Mm. We're all familiar with cubits, so we needn't go into details there.
Yeah, so if 300 cubits is 500 feet, 50 cubits is probably like 100 feet or so.
Well, yeah. You're probably about somewhere in that area. It's just,
it is a massive ship that they said would have pushed the scales, of.
Yes. I thought that part was interesting too, that it's like basically as big as scientists are saying that a wooden boat could ever be. Because I was wondering, you know, could such a thing ever actually float? And I think it would have been nice to have it float as part of their exhibit. Like, why don't they have it in water? I mean, and it seems a little bit of a cop-out to me. I wouldn't mind seeing this thing if it can float or not.
I would imagine that would take a very large pool of water. Well, to, you know, because there's definitely some heft to this kind of ship. I mean, because Noah did have to put up with the flood, to get this thing to float.
That's right. I don't think, you know, just to clear things up, I'm not asking for a worldwide flood just to test this thing out, if that's what you're insinuating I'm doing here, Kevin. I don't appreciate that.
No, I'm just saying it would still take a very large body of water. We would not need to flood the world.
Right. I mean,
but it would still take a very large body of water.
Almost knocking over a glass of water there.
Yes.
Ironically. I guess so. I mean, we have several of those on this planet, I think.
That
they could do such a thing. Maybe not in Kentucky, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't, say that they didn't, what the fuck?
No, I just think
no one said, hey, have you tested this?
Right. No, it didn't come up at all. It's like they were dodging it. And I think that's what they are doing. They're cowardly refusing to actually test if this thing's going to float.
Yeah, that was really not addressed in this article, though.
No.
They
did say that it would be about as big as a boat could be. And they think they compared it to a couple other historical boats or semi-historical boats. Warship.
Yeah, in the 1400s, and an ancient Greek ship. But I can't imagine that they have some actual proof of even the Greek ship.
Right. I think it's mainly people writing about it. This ship is made from wood, so it's not going to last for thousands of years.
Right.
Or even hundreds of years, probably. So, yeah, we don't have any evidence. And the Chinese... Well, the Greek one, from what I read of it previously...
Well, of course.
I don't believe they really ever sailed it anywhere. Like, it may have sailed one time or something like that, but mostly it was just like a kind of party boat, basically, for the emperor. Or whatever. That was my takeaway from the article.
Well, yeah, and that I guess that was kind of the point. Like, when I saw the headline, I was expecting more of what I saw at the very bottom of this article, which was, like, the size comparison and, like, how would this have functioned? Like, I've just got to think, too, just logistically, when it was dry, you had to have this on some type of scaffolding. Mm-hmm. Like, this would have...
Well, it seems like they've got that part covered, because they do have it on some kind of support there, right? I mean...
Yeah.
So they're kind of saying, you know, look, we can do this. But,
yeah, but I'm not really surprised that modern humans could do this.
The other, like, part that I found was intriguing.
Consider me nonplussed in that department. Even if they kind of used more rudimentary, tools to build this. And, well, and again, this part of the topic was not covered in this article.
No, I'm guessing they did not limit themselves to primitive tools when they were constructing this, because it did say that they did it in a year at a cost of $100 million.
Yes.
So I'm guessing they had modern equipment in there. When I did a little extra research, I found that it took Noah, according to the Bible, 100 years. So I'm not sure if he was spending the equivalent of $1 million a year to kind of get all that equivalent amount of labor put into it. But he did say, I guess he had his three sons helping him. So
maybe
they split the tab a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, even if they sourced the wood themselves from a local supplier, that would have taken a lot of... That's a lot of wood.
Yes.
You would be... Oh, and that was something... Oh, I guess they didn't really say how much wood that takes. Like, that's got to be a ridiculous amount of wood. Again, just even to build it, like they have.
And you think if it took 100 years, by the time, like, you were getting towards the end, like, the stuff at the beginning would be, like, starting to get bad again.
Right. Yeah, I didn't even think about that. Yeah, I would imagine at a minimum you would have to address some problems as you went along.
That would be like a nightmare. You would be caught in an infinite loop. Like, you would have to continuously be repairing the parts that were...
Yeah, I think you needed more help than just your sons. I'm just throwing that one out there.
Did you see the movie Noah with Russell Crowe that came out recently?
No, I did not.
I started watching that one. It's by a director that I've liked before, some of his movies, Darren Aronofsky. But it takes it almost to like a Lord of the Rings type setting for the world of Noah. There's like these... rock giant things that kind of are helping Noah build the ark, who are sort of like fallen angels. And I guess there's some of this stuff in the book of Genesis where this is, you know, drawn from.
Okay.
But they kind of take it a little bit to, well, take it to places that aren't mentioned directly. So I don't think they are talked about as helping to build the ark necessarily in the Bible.
Gotcha.
But,
yeah, that's still just like a ridiculous undertaking.
There's also something of a tradition with like people, like the world changing in some way after the flood, like the antediluvian world before the flood, like people live for so much longer, supposedly, you know?
Oh, yeah. So, yeah. There were quite a number of people in the Bible that lived hundreds of years. Well, and I mean, if you're building an ark for 100 years, you've lived over 100 years.
And I guess to me that like is a sort of a sign that this is like stuff that happened in like a legendary sense or something. Like it's not like meant to necessarily be historically accurate. But
right.
You know, you
can, yeah, these the
it
people...
is interesting that you can contort, if you work hard enough, you can really contort yourself into having some kind of justification for whatever you want to believe, I guess.
Yeah, and it seemed like the people that disagree with these people weren't necessarily anti-religion.
Well, yeah, that is kind of a false...
because, and they did also admit in the article that this is like a very narrow group of people that... because it was called... this is a specific type of creationism.
Yeah, but I mean, somehow they came up with $100 million. And I think they did kind of have like one main benefactor, it seemed like. Or maybe I'm mistaken. But... There was a big donor that they mentioned in there.
Yeah.
It just is a very strange thing to spend your money on. I don't know.
Yeah, it's $40 for adults and $28 for children.
Oh, so...
I have better things to spend $40 on.
I mean, I was going to say this is probably within driving distance for us, but...
yes.
I don't think I would want to... kind of benefit anything that I disagree with, I suppose. And that is too much money.
Yeah, the too much money part just gets me out right away. Like, that's crazy. Like, I read that part and I'm like that to me takes away the I'd like to do this just to goof on it factor.
I think that's maybe why they price it that way. Because they want to avoid that kind of like open scoffing, maybe.
That could be a very plausible idea.
Although I did see that Bill Nye, the Science Guy, did pay a visit. I didn't clip that article, but he was a critic of the museum. You know, he I guess, is well off enough that $40 wasn't going to put a hole in his, put a dent in his bank account there. So he could afford that, I suppose. If we were Bill and I, you know, we wouldn't blink at that kind of thing either, I suppose.
We'd do it too. but yeah, It's just ridiculous when you think the Earth is only 6,000 years old.
Well, and then you have to believe that, basically...
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because one of the photos showed two baby Baronosauruses laying down in the Ark.
Yeah, so they...
Which I got a hoot out of.
They included dinosaurs in the Ark. Although I don't think theirs are mentioned. They were not mentioned in that song. I know that as one of the animals that was on the ark. And I don't believe they were in the Bible either. But like I said, I don't believe, at least they didn't mention in this, and I don't remember ever coming across a number of animals that were in that ark total.
Oh, yeah. Again, like that is something that I have not read in quite some time.
But 200,000 animals? I mean...
120,000 sheep.
120,000? Okay, see, I was just inflating it in my head there.
That's still a lot of area, 120,000 sheep.
Right.
Because they were comparing it to having...
Notice how it's not goats.
A number of football fields.
Racist goats.
within the size of the ark.
Right, and you consider it's
three stories. It's 1.5 football fields.
So that's pretty big.
Yeah. So that it is an extremely large object, and yeah, building it back then, like you said, like it really would have presented some real problems.
But then you have to consider you can't just fill it to the brim with animals. You've got to have like stuff for the animals to eat, and like,
oh,
how does
yeah.
all that work?
The logistics of feeding all those animals would have been nuts. Like, you would have, during that 100 years that you were building that ark, you would have needed to have someone sourcing food and making it storage prepared. Yeah. Like, almost the entire time, or at least maybe the last 50 years or something like that. Like, you had to pick some time to start.
Well, and you also have to find time to, like, farm and work to, like, survive, you know, which was not always easy hundreds of thousands of years ago or whenever this was supposedly taking place.
6,000 years
ago. Oh, 6,000 years ago, sure. When
well,
the dinosaurs
actually,
were running.
No, he was...
Well, life was not easy back then, I'll say.
Well, no, I'm trying to think of where he comes in the list of the Bible there, honestly, where Noah comes in. Because, like, who's... obviously, Adam and Eve are before him, but I'm trying to think of...
yeah, Noah's pretty early on, I want to say.
Yeah, he's pretty early on, but I was just wondering... But there was some time span, I guess, even in the Bible, before Noah came along.
Correct. And I think it was Noah's grandfather was Methuselah, who was, like, the oldest character in the Bible. Which is why some people say he's the oldest Methuselah.
Was the 10th and last of the pre-flood patriarchs. So, yeah, he was good old number 10.
From Adam being the first, I assume?
Yeah. They did not give the list of who's before him.
Shame on you, Wikipedia.
Noah's drunkenness.
Yeah.
Oh, here it is. They got the family tree. Adam, Eve, Abel, Cain... Methuselah was related to Noah. He had Japhethah, Ham, and Shem.
Right.
Were his children.
And I think Shem was the one who went on to do something.
Yeah, I do not
There's
remember.
Some, like, worked... Somehow, like... People worked out, like, the sons of Abraham, like, split off to form the different ethnic groups that they saw in the world, like the Arabs and the Jewish people. And the.
And I don't remember Seth being, evidently that was Adam and Eve's third child, Seth.
Yeah, that sounds right to me.
I guess I don't, I do not remember that, but that's where Noah's family comes from.
Yeah, I think Seth was supposed to be more of like the, I don't know, he was like a better kid or something?
I hope so, considering Cain killed Abel, so.
Yeah, I think Seth then was the second patriarch, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
Which makes sense. Because I guess Cain or Abel are both kind of out
of
the running.
Oh, yeah, but I mean, you know what? None of these other names really are big names in the Bible until you get to Noah.
Sort of backbenchers until then.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
Yeah, they don't...
It's not like Jeremiah or Ezekiel or Moses...
That's right. Yeah, Moses was after all this. But,
yeah, David, Solomon, Saul, all those guys after Noah. So, yeah.
So Noah was really the end of the era there. And I guess that was kind of what I was saying about with the movie kind of taking like a fantasy view of it, because the to me it's like still in that kind of legendary time period. So I think that is what I don't know. That's like why you can, if people are going to believe that is like real, there's like no really arguing, I guess. Because how would, I guess, something we haven't talked about, like, how do you get all those animals on there? Like, you would, I think God told them to in the Bible. So that's what it would take, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it because, A, even if you're thinking, because I remember seeing some flood map of where there was possibly a flood thousands of years ago in the Mediterranean.
Mm-hmm.
They covered a large mass in that area.
There's a flood story in like other religions in the area too, from other sources.
Right.
So there could have been some big flood back then.
So I saw something probably on Discovery or something like that, but they just kind of mentioned that. But like, even if you're thinking of getting two animals from that large region, that's again, like, that's just a tall task in and of itself,
right?
You know, unless you have someone like God ordering them to you, that is
and then you're adding dinosaurs into the mix, who, you know, are probably natural enemies with other dinosaurs that you've put on there, or
they want to eat you. Or, like you said, every other animal that's there. I mean, I know that there were some vegetarian dinosaurs. But
some of those were really big, actually. Like the,
the Brontosaurus, again, really loving the baby Brontosaurus in the picture. Because those things were massive. And if you have a Brontosaurus around for 100 years while you're building this damn ark,
see, I don't
know.
You're
going to have a full-size Brontosaurus, or do you take, like, the Brontosaurus' kid with you?
I don't know.
And not actually the Brontosaurus.
I don't know. I think you would have to bring... It said that they did... In some one part, they said they had seven of each kind of animal, and then in another part...
Holy shit.
They said they had two of each kind of animal. So it's one of those delightful
contradictions. I don't remember the seven part. I do remember the two part.
Yeah, so it's, and it may have just been like seven of certain kind of animals, I don't know, but it is still a lot of animals, and some animals are quite big. It would be strange, I think, you know, what would you do with like freshwater fish versus saltwater fish? I guess like all the waters would be mixed together. That would be a problem. You know, as far as like, you could have baby dinosaurs, I guess, but then you really gotta like look out for them somehow to make sure that they make it. Kind of taking a risk there, if you ask me.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy what, yeah, again, just the logistics of this thing is completely bonkers.
Right. So, I don't know. Maybe in the end, it will be a good thing to actually have built this thing so that people can kind of, like, make up their own minds, maybe, to say if they really... But the trouble is, like, for, I guess, kids who are kind of brought up in this system, like, they're not going to know any better.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing, but unfortunately, just like the crazy Amish people, you know, there is even the show like Breaking Amish and things like that that were very popular about people who were ex-Amish and just kind of telling the horror stories.
Right, a lot of people.
Of living that society. But, you know, some people, maybe they're just content that way. They're like, okay, cool, man.
Yeah, I agree. It can be troubling, but
yeah. So this is one of those things where I think that they're completely off their rockers.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like you said, like there's no reason to argue with them. You're like, I'm just walking away.
Yeah,
because they've heard that argument before. Like, I can't say anything new. You know, I can't present any evidence that they're
Right.
going to finally go, oh, you know what? You, sir, you did it.
You know, I had not considered that before, and after further reflection, I have to say you're right. I would just say they should have tried to make it float. That's my big note for those people. I want to see if that's possible. I would have a lot more respect that way.
We had talked quite a bit about the dinosaurs in Noah's Ark. There's one other article that did talk about dinosaurs on our list here. Since we're running short of time, we can wrap up with this one.
Got it.
Not really to my surprise all that much. There is a new article saying that dinosaurs made sounds more like the birds squawking more than like a deep bellow kind of situation.
And this article goes on to say that they would have had feathers, it seems like.
Yeah, and that one was kind of funny because they were slamming Jurassic Park about the noises. But I do believe that several of the dinosaurs in the new Jurassic World movie had feathers.
Right, and I.
So it's just like, well, they were already incorporating the feathers. Like, really? You're going to bust their balls over the whole squawking thing?
And I feel like some of the big dinosaurs in that movie were making kind of like the closed mouth. I don't know if you'd call it cooing. That's what they were trying to call it in the article. But I think when you have a such a large vocal cavity, it would come out as a very deep, deep sound. And in the article, they had an example of an ostrich mating call, which had a deeper sound too. So, I mean.
Yeah, ostriches are pretty much dinosaurs, so.
Yeah, so it had a deeper, almost booming, not cooing sound. Although I can see it being caused by the same type of, moving air around inside a throat. It just sounds different to me.
Yeah, and I mean, all of the. I mean, it seems like a lot of the dinosaurs kind of have big necks. So, like, it doesn't really. You know, upon further review, it makes some sense.
Right. So I guess we showed these people.
Yep, those Noah Ark people. They are convinced right now.
And those people who are trying to take down Jurassic Park, I think we gave them their comeuppance as well, because Jurassic Park wasn't that far off, okay? They did pretty good. I mean,
Yeah, quit busting their balls.
the part I think that is funniest to me about Jurassic Park is, and I've heard this on another podcast that I listened to, they mentioned it, that's what made me think of it, but the plot where the, because you've seen Jurassic World, right?
Yes. Yeah, I quite enjoyed it.
The plot where, and I enjoyed it too, I gotta say, but the part where the evil character, who was the guy from Law and Order, Criminal Intent, why am I blanking on his name?
I don't know.
You were a fan of his, Vincent D'Onofrio.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Vinny D, I forgot about that. I
So
don't know why.
he, yeah, right. This is why, I think, because it doesn't make any sense. Like, that part doesn't make sense. He wanted to make the dinosaurs into a military weapon,
Oh, yeah.
because they would be much better than a drone or any kind of soldier. He made the reference, like, if we would had some of these in Tora Bora, this would have made like a big difference.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. They were going to hunt down Osama bin Laden.
with the raptors, yeah. And just the idea that because Christopher Pratt is like able to like one time stand there and like make them stop, like that's all he needs to see in order to like totally greenlight this project and like put tons of resources behind it to make it happen. It just seems a little bit far-fetched.
Yeah, it seems a little excessive, I would call it.
Maybe not quite as far-fetched as my Dolphin Force idea from earlier, but it's not that far behind that level.
Well, it's way behind because, A, first we need to have dinosaurs.
That's true. Although in that world, they already do have the dinosaurs, so we might have to judge him on some kind of curve, just because dinosaurs do already exist for him.
Yeah, they were an option for Vinny D.
Yeah.
So,
Chris Pratt did a great job of making them stop that one time, but they still did not seem that well under control, so he was really trying to jump the gun there.
He didn't have as good a control of them as maybe he thought.
And I wonder how many other people out there have forgotten about Vincent D'Onofrio's part in that movie, just because it made so little sense.
And he got offed pretty early in the movie, I feel like, still. No?
I don't think so. I think he survives to the third act, if I'm not mistaken. But, we could get corrected on this one.
Oh.
Someone out there probably knows the answer.
But it is not us, and it's not for tonight, Ken. If you call into the OPA hotline,
yes,
which is at Stunt Granny, we will answer your questions.
And we will accept your upbraiding for not knowing the answers to start with.
Yes. So for tonight, the Belltime beer of the week would be Blue Mountain Barrel House Blitzen. It is another in a continued series of Christmas in July for me. And this one I got on my travels to Richmond. And it's a Belgian-inspired Christmas ale. So, this one is, it's pretty tasty. It's 7% alcohol, 24 IBUs, so it is a little bit on the sweeter side. It has some spice, but also it does have that characteristic Belgian yeast flavor to it.
Yeah, that's a good way to describe it, I'd say. It definitely packs a bit of a punch. But what you might expect from a Christmas, a little bit, heavier for being a Christmas ale, more of a, spicy kind of flavor to it. But it's working for me at the moment. Not what I would normally associate with a summer evening, but I enjoy the Christmas in July theme, so I'm on board.
Okie dokie, grandkids. This is at DeFrango 11. That's at Gozer 33. I already mentioned that Stunt Granny. Everyone, have a good night.
See ya.